You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. Going to be hard to top that first hour. Keith and I were working our way up to a crescendo, and then Scoop Stanton swoops in.
Puts a cherry on top.
As Scoop can do, and puts that cherry on top with an eyewitness report from what he saw during his tour of Baltimore, Maryland yesterday. He was right there at Ground Zero and told us all about it. And so, but we're going to continue on tonight for the entire program. Well, almost the entire program. We got a very special guest at the end of the third hour that's going to leave a good taste in your mouth. And, you know, we've been talking about a lot of stuff that's upsetting, hard to swallow. At the end of the show, we're going to wash it all away. It's going to be the radio.
The
radio equivalent of drinking a
happy
julep right there at the end of it all. And we're going to talk to a dear sweet lady who had the opportunity to meet last year, and she's up in Missouri, and she's going to be with us to round the program out tonight, and we're looking forward to that. But the coverage right now of Baltimore certainly continues, and, you know, Pat Buchanan
hits a nail on the head.
Well, when he hits the head on the net, he drives it straight, as Keith would say. And Pat has, you know, of course, Pat is an acquaintance of mine. I worked for Pat. He's been on this show a handful of times over the years. And one of the things he said on this show when I interviewed him a few years back was that one of the books he was going to write before he dies is a book about the coming race war in this country. This is Pat Buchanan, former presidential candidate and White House insider during the Nixon administration and the Reagan administration. Pat Buchanan, conservative heavyweight, he says there will be, or he fears there will be or might be, a race war coming in America. You look to Baltimore, Maryland this week, and you see that it very well this could be some opening salvos. You saw it in Ferguson just a few months ago. You see it in Baltimore now. It hasn't even gotten to summer yet. And when the weather heats up, I tell you, these people are going to...
It will be the long, hot summer they promised back in 65 with the beginning of the Watts riots. Here's what it is. Plain and simple. You heard it here first. It may be the only place you hear it. The left is busily trying to resurrect the civil rights movement. Why? It was the one unqualified success that they have that both liberals and mainstream conservatives bow down to and worship. Martin Luther King can do no wrong. That's all that you can do. You know, there's nothing that Martin Luther King did that was wrong, and anybody that says so is going to have a sock stuffed in their mouth. Everybody is on board. So is Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, yada, yada, yada. Civil rights movement was justified and perfectly executed, and there was no overreach whatsoever. And the left yearns for that type of acceptance. So what do they do when they run into massive public skepticism about global warming or radical feminism or, you know, just about homosexual rights? They go running back. They go running back to the civil rights movement. It's as predictable as night following day, James.
Let's go to Chris in Alaska. Chris has been waiting almost an hour, and I apologize for that, Chris. Entirely my fault. I appreciate your patience. The floor is yours, my good sir.
Thank you very much, James. I just wanted to say that there's nothing new under the sun. Let's think about what Maryland and Missouri have in common, James. They're both slave states that were forcibly kept from seceding from the Union in 1861.
And, good point.
That it was chiefly German immigrants in Missouri and in the Midwest, on the Western Theater, that won the war from Wisconsin and Ohio, Iowa, from Midwestern farm boys. And the Civil War was about controlling the newly industrial output of the Northeast. It was chiefly Irish immigrants and in agricultural areas of the Midwest that was typified by the German immigrants to the Missouri area. And that it wasn't.
Craig, this is also, this is very good too. This is German Catholics for the most part. And the WASP people like Henry Ward Beecher, thought there was some type of Catholic conspiracy to take over America. They opened up Union Theological Seminary, and they were the enemies of these people who basically won the war for them. Interesting.
Well, and not only that, but they lied about it. Of course, they told there's a good movie that came out last year, Copperhead, that was about a conservative man in upstate New York who was against the war. But he did a pretty good job of portraying the different positions. And what they said to the industrial Irish workers was that the blacks would force slaves to work in industrial processes and take your jobs here in Baltimore and Philadelphia and New York. And they said to the German immigrants in the Midwest that they'll expand this slavery franchise to the whole Midwest and force you out of your freehold and farm. So they told these immigrants lies. And then to get them to fight in the war. And then after the war and during the 60s and right after World War II, they weaponized the same blacks that were used in Reconstruction against the South against the immigrants, the descendants of those same immigrants in Baltimore, in Philadelphia, in New York, and in the Midwest, in St. Louis. And it was because...
In Boston, even. The Irish Catholics in Boston were... Their neighborhoods were decimated by busing.
You know, I tell you, it's May now, our first broadcast in May, but it feels as though we're slipping back into April, which is, of course, Confederate History Month, and I'm loving every second of this call.
And we're looking forward to our annual anti-celebration, I guess you would call it, of the Brown decision.
That's coming up in May, too, an annual tradition. But anyway, Chris, I digress. Back to you.
Anyway, I'd love to hear what Matt Copperhead has to say, but I can virtually guarantee you that his ancestors came to New York, worked hard in the factories and industrial areas, and they were forced out by blacks. In Baltimore, the same sort of thing happened to Polacks, Catholics, Black Catholics, Irish Catholics, all sorts of different people who would come to this country and were good, solid citizens. So what we have to draw the parallel here is that the federal government is using the same group of people they've always weaponized against productive, healthy, sane people and using them as a weapon against normal, God-fearing, tax-paying Americans. And it will never stop until we have
we're dead.
A government.
Until we're dead, basically. And until we're in the situation of South African Zimbabwe, where they can us off. You know, another thing is, Matt, the Copperhead... It wasn't just something that happened to his family historically. It happened to him. He feels he was run out of the New York City area by just these forces.
That's right.
Because I've had a talk with him.
If you ask the boys, the Missouri boys who fought for the Union, the Maryland boys who fought for the Union, if you ask in Kentucky, and I guess this is my last point, Kentucky and West Virginia and Maryland and Missouri and other conservative states, sided with the Union over economic interests because they believed that the fighting with the Confederacy would be economically disastrous for them.
Chris, I want to thank you for the call. All the way up in Alaska, ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman tunes in every week and calls in regularly, and we're always the recipients of the benefit of
his pearls of wisdom.
Great guy. All the way up in Alaska. Thank you, Chris. We love you, buddy. We'll be back with more coverage of Baltimore right after this.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. Well, I stopped to do some walking. I had a problem. I had a heart attack. My second one, I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had 3 bypasses 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way he could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. 3 hours, one topic, Baltimore. And, you know, I've been to Baltimore twice, two or three times, actually, in the last couple of years for appearances and radio show-related matters. I had a good time in Baltimore. Thankfully, I didn't go during the time of an insurrection. But the question must be asked, what kind of a nation allows this sort of upheaval, tongue twister, what sort of nation allows this kind of upheaval to occur? And I asked that question to the one and only Keith Alexander the Great. Keith, could we even by the most loose definition of the word be considered a serious country? What kind of country allows this to occur on its soil, and then the government of the country blames the law enforcement for the behavior of the criminals?
A nation that's run by a treasonous elite that are interested in engineering the decline and fall of the nation. That's it. That is, you know, the long and the short of it. A treasonous elite that is intentionally engineering the decline and fall of our nation. And I'll say that again. That's it. That's what's happening. You're seeing a traitorous elite that are intentionally trying to encourage civil unrest, and they're trying to upset the traditions and the established culture of our nation. They apparently have a purpose for doing this. What is it? Well, white dispossession. That's a two-word explanation. That's what they're trying to engineer. They're doing it through allowing third worlders to immigrate freely in here, non-enforcement of our laws. They're doing it by trying to encourage the destruction of the infrastructure in various American cities, standing by, having a mayor tell the police to stand pat and let it happen.
Yeah, well, that is one thing. One of the biggest parts of this that we have not even covered yet is that you have this black woman Democrat mayor that says we have to give...
Stand down.
We have... Well, not only stand down, we have to give the people who want to destroy the room to destroy. Did you ever think, Keith, you know, you grew up in a better day and age. You grew up in the halcyon days of American culture during the 50s, Ozzie and Harriet. You know, that wasn't just a TV show. That was somewhat similar to real life. Did you ever think you would live to see the day when this was just, hey... Let them go out and destroy. No. We got to give them the room to do that. That's our job.
No, laws were enforced. Fairness was enforced. For example, in divorce courts, if you were the wrongdoer whose misbehavior led to a divorce, you were the adulterer, for example, whether you were a man or a woman, you'd be the one that paid the price in divorce court. Now, it doesn't matter. You can be guilty of sin and still be entitled to child support payments, still have custody of children, whatever. No-fault divorce. Now we've got no-fault law enforcement where the law decides to stand down and not enforce its laws based on the race of the people who are breaking the law.
Another element that needs to be discussed. If ever there was a clear case for the need for law-abiding, good and decent people to be well-armed and proficient in the use of firearms, Baltimore should paint the picture clearly.
Because you can no longer depend on the police department. The police department is going to, you know, particularly when you see policemen being prosecuted for murder under these circumstances, is it any wonder that the police are going to sit on their hands? And if they sit on their hands, you're liable to be the casualty.
We've got Sean Bergen coming up for the remainder of this hour after the next commercial break. Now, everyone will remember Sean Bergen. He is a professional television news reporter who was dismissed from his job for speaking honestly on his local newscast up in New Jersey last year about an issue very similar to this that dealt with a young thug who shot a police officer. And he said that the illegitimacy and lack of fathers in the black community is something that needs to be looked at. He was fired for that. Well, we're going to talk to Sean about that. He's our go-to guy when it comes to this sort of a story. And he's coming up after the break. But circling back to gun control, you know, that to me is one of the most open and shut case, you know, issues that could be dealt with in the political spectrum.
And, of course, you know, that's not even the answer, ultimately, because – have you ever thought about South Africa? Why do all of these white farmers allow black thugs to break into their homes and not ventilate them immediately? Even though we know they're well armed, they won't ventilate them. They won't come to their own defense because they know that if they so much as wound one of these fellows, they're going to be tried by a black prosecutor before a black judge and a black jury, and that regardless of the merits of their behavior, whether it was self-defense or not, they're going to be found guilty. That's what the mob is calling for in Baltimore. We're seeing a real preview of, you know,
it's
a future.
Just breaking news right now sent to me from our producer, and we're going to ask Sean Bergen about this, who is a native New Yorker. A cop was shot in the head in New York City. Now, listen, I'm telling you.
Another one.
It is coming. It's coming, and instances like this, you used to be able to count them on your hand. Now, you know, you're going to need your fingers and toes and your family's fingers
and toes.
Take your
shoes off.
It is coming more and more frequently because you have an urban undertow in this country.
And you have a news media that's calling
for
this.
And their actions are justified and sanctioned. Whatever they can do is justified because the white man has held them down. And listen, used to, a man rose up and made a life and a name for himself. Now you have people who are just saying, well, I can't do it because you did this to me. And it's all a lie because, listen, it was the white government of this country that not only gave them they gave them the preferential treatment that they now enjoy. It's not about
And even when they weren't given preferential treatment, they were the most blessed of all black people in the world, the ones that were sent to North America. If you don't believe so, just ask people in Ghana or Nigeria. People,
if they would trade places, ask them if they would trade places. Ask anybody in the Congo today if they would trade places with any given
North American black.
Look, there should be no need for the political cesspool because all we do is we get on the radio, in my opinion, and
we
speak common sense. But we are living in a day and age, Keith, where common sense is a luxury.
It's like the fable of the emperor's new clothes. Anyone who dares to tell the truth is liable to pay with their life. That's what
you're certainly going to be called names.
You're going to be cast into the outer darkness of media.
We are having an honest conversation. You know, Eric Holder challenged whites to have a conversation about race. We're trying to have that conversation here as honestly and as dispassionately as we can. I'm not mad at anybody. I certainly don't hate anybody. I really don't. I just don't. But I'm telling you, I'm going to talk honestly about issues. I'm going to practice my God-given right to free speech. And if you disagree with me, you don't like me, you hate me, turn off the show. I don't care. I do this for free anyway.
Yeah, basically that's what we're doing. So, you know, don't try to censor us. You know, we're not going to be censored. That's the whole purpose of being
on
the show.
But we speak for the majority of working class, tax-paying Americans. Yeah. That ain't how we roll. This is how we roll. And we're rolling every night. We've been rolling for 10 years, Keith. And we're
That's right.
And I tell you, folks, very easy to forget how influential the political cesspool has risen to become over the course of the last decade.
And
we're
going
to talk
example.
About that.
We've got the latest example.
We've got many examples, but we've got the latest example that we're going to relate to you in the third hour. But Keith, the final word for you from you before Sean Bergen comes on.
Well, this is a world. We live in a new, brave new world in which we deal with newspeak all the time. It's no way that, you know, words don't have their normal meanings. And we have this monologue that is enforced by the elite and the media, who are basically insulating themselves from the consequences they're thrusting on the rest of us here in America. We need to recognize it and rise up.
Sean Berger, when we come back. Thank you, Keith.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, the American Freedom Party. .us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we're going to get a professional voice weighing in now on the situation in Baltimore and a breaking situation in New York. He is the one and only Sean Bergen. And, of course, Sean should be no stranger to listeners of this program. He's been with us numerous times over the course of the past year. And he's with us again tonight. He's the former television news reporter, a great asset to truth tellers everywhere. And we're honored to have his presence again on our broadcast this evening. Sean, welcome back.
It's good to be back. I'm sorry to say under bad circumstances, again, as it where it concerns the police. Nationwide, as we've all been talking about over the last few weeks, and especially in the last few days of the riots in Baltimore, and we do have a bit of breaking news coming out of New York City, where I am right now, where we understand a officer has been shot in the head, and he is currently listed in critical condition. There's not a lot in the way of details right now. We know that he's a four-year veteran of the force. He's unidentified right now, and he has been, like I said, on the department for 4 years. There is a manhunt currently underway in Queens for the gunman. He is still on the loose, according to the reports that I'm seeing. And you got to wonder, was this guy inspired by what we're seeing in Baltimore? Kind of like the last time we had two cops executed in the city.
I was just about to say that, Sean. I mean, you could certainly speculate. We don't have any clear-cut evidence yet that this was inspired by what happened in Baltimore, but we do know beyond any shadow of doubt that the slaying of two New York police officers a few months prior was related to the situation with Michael Brown, the media-manufactured so-called, you know, racist cop, guns-down, you know, angelic cherub. And you were there. It was one of our finest moments in 10 years of broadcasting, quite frankly. Sean Bergen, of course, was there live reporting on this broadcast outside of the hospital where those two law enforcement officers were taken. That very breaking news on the scene as it occurred. So it certainly wouldn't surprise us if this was related either directly to Baltimore or just the way the media and the Obama administration specifically have tainted police officers and beaten it into the mind of every ne'er-do-well that, hey, it's open season on cops because they're the bad guys. And I saw Sean and I watched with just utter contempt and disgust, and I don't mind saying that on live radio, Obama's reaction to what happened in Baltimore, blaming everybody but the people responsible for the situation and casting some shadow. Listen, as I said earlier in the show, and I'm not sure if you were listening, Sean, but the people in Baltimore, the police officers in Baltimore, are the only thing keeping that city upright right now. And they do it with one hand tied behind their back. It's just a shame. It's a travesty.
I would expect that the arrest of these officers will probably have some type of chilling effect, not only on the Baltimore police, but in police nationwide. This is part of a growing national trend. And it's worth noting that this officer that was shot in New York City today.
Okay, if you think he's legit, Sam, let's do it.
The last 5 months.
Well, it's just apparently one thing after another. And listen, well, we've got a caller on the line we're going to take, and we'll see where this goes, but he has identified himself as a conservative black police officer here in Memphis, and I want to thank him for his service and welcome him to the show. Thank you for calling in. What can we do for you, sir?
Yeah, guys, I listen occasionally. I am a dyed-in-the-wool conservative, and I take issue, I guess, with the co-host. Part of the problem that some whites are not aware of is that the left, the liberals, have used the African-American issues to manipulate their own political ideology, as if blacks were victims, as if blacks were incompetent, which some of them are, and I acknowledge that. If you look at Baltimore, gentlemen, for 30 to 40 years, Baltimore has been under the leadership of the Democrats. It has been under the leadership from Mr. Cummings to the current mayor, and the problems there are worse now than they've ever been. If you want to look at the statistics, 80% of black-on-black crime, but the Democrats won't acknowledge that. And you have an entire group of African-Americans who are like chattel. They have not been told, get off your butt and get a job. They have not been told you can achieve success in this country if you're willing to work for it. They have been given things, the entitlement mentality of the Obama administration, and that's just disgusting because I can't stand it. But this issue of the name-calling, I take issue with. Black people have been manipulated by their own kind, et al., Mr. Cummings and other liberal politicians and the current leadership. They don't want to take responsibility for it, so white liberals support them. The majority of the middle-class blacks, the blacks who get off their butts and go and work and realize the greatness of the country. I spent 22 years in the military. I've been a cop for 20. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody should guarantee you anything. Get off your butt. Get a job. If you've got to sweep streets, you do that until you can find something better. But you have a situation where the Democrats and the leadership, I'm an independent conservative, you got a situation of where they pull the African-American community, and to a lesser extent the Asian community, like the puppets. They pull the strings. So to your enlightened co-host, he's right about something. Don't think that most blacks are anywhere near this mindset that he's talking about. That's really what I want to say.
Well, listen, I want to tell you, first of all, I want to thank you for the call, sincerely. And I want to say that with regards to much of what you said this evening, you are without question right. And we appreciate you listening and hope that you'll continue to tune in. And I want to turn it over to Sean for his response to the caller.
Well, I think what the gentleman is pointing out here, and I think what we're witnessing, is the abject failure of liberalism nationwide. This is what liberalism looks like when it is played out to its logical end. It looks like Baltimore. It looks like Detroit.
No, that's fine. I think it was a good call. Keep going, Sean. I'm sorry. I was talking to the producer.
The
keep going, Sean.
Of Chicago. And this is going to happen all over the country. I really believe that we're going to be looking at a long, hot summer of all of these demonstrations. What's happening in Baltimore right now, you know, we could have the same situation that we had in Ferguson and up in Staten Island, New York, with also Pamplia, where these officers will ultimately be acquitted of what it looks to me like a serious overreach on the part of the mayor and this attorney general in this prosecutor in Baltimore, because I don't think these charges are going to stand up. And when these men are acquitted, then what kind of riots are we going to be looking at? What this gentleman is pointing out is very important. The African Americans in this country are used by liberal Democrats for their votes, and they're kept dependent on government programs, which have shown now, demonstrated to be not only an abject failure, but utterly destructive to the very people they claim to want to help. And more African Americans are waking up to this fact. The problem is, previously, if you came forward as an African American and identified yourself as a conservative, you were, just vilified and personally destroyed by members of your own race and the white liberals who are pulling the strings here, because it is white liberals who are pulling the strings. They're the ones who got Obama elected, not African-Americans. African-Americans turned out in record numbers, but they're only 13% of the American population in total. When you consider the voting age, you're talking about maybe 6 or 7% of the American population. There's no way they could have elected or re-elected Obama. This is white liberalism. This is people who are just desperate to feel better about themselves. So they don't care about the wreckage that they caused. They don't care about the results of these failed policies. It's good enough for them that they're trying to do something, because ultimately the goal is not to help black people. It's for white liberals to feel better about themselves. It is nothing more than a giant psychological self-soothing mechanism, and it is really, really revealing itself now to be just the most destructive influence in America today.
This is talk radio at its finest. And Sean, what a great response. This is exploitation by the insiders. And you know, we host a show here every week for 3 hours. Obviously, not every listener or caller is going to agree with everything we say. I stand by everything we say on this show, to be sure, and we back away from nothing. But I will say this as well, as we pointed out in the first hour, if the leaders of the black community in this country were people like Jesse Lee Peterson — I don't want to keep going over this, but it should be said — Jesse Lee Peterson, David Clark, Sheriff up in Milwaukee, and some of the others, you know, a lot of the racial tension that has reached a tinderbox in this country would dissipate. I mean, there would still be differences, there would still be cultural differences, and there would still be some things that wouldn't be completely congruent, and that is to be expected. But a lot of this hatred that we have seen stirred up by the left primarily would go away. But it should be pointed out that this is a liberal problem. You know, we covered the racial angle earlier. This is a liberal problem as well, and I want to talk about that with respect to the caller when we come back, and we'll talk more with Sean about other aspects of Baltimore that we've not yet had the time to get into. So stay tuned, everybody.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
On the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Got a lot of ground to cover with Sean Bergen. Anytime you have a guest, the caliber of Sean, you want to give him all the time possible. But getting back to the last caller very quickly, you know, certainly what we're talking about here is not the good, honest, hardworking people, regardless of race. We're talking about the thugs. And I think that should be clear. But just to make it clear, this is, you know, certainly the case. And he did bring up an excellent point, though, I thought, in that in addition to some of the other factors that we've covered extensively, liberalism plays a big role in this as well. And we talked about the liberalism that completely dominates Baltimore politics, in that, you know, this welfare, the handouts, the entitlement, all of these things given to certain people, certainly these people that are involved in this sort of criminal behavior. Sean, how much would you say that sort of political mindset played a role in this, in addition to the fatherlessness and illegitimacy that you've certainly gone on record for in the past? You know, Pat Buchanan, who's been on the show many times, wrote that illegitimacy, I believe, in the black community is up to greater than 80%. I mean, certainly in addition to other things, that has to play a factor along with this liberal entitlement mentality.
Well, yeah, what you're looking at basically is, like I said, this is the liberalism looks like when it's played out to its logical end. This was decades in the making, has been decades in the making. The issue of illegitimacy, fatherlessness in the black, that was created by liberal social engineering schemes that kicked off in the late 60s under LBJ and basically incentivized the practice of single motherhood. They made it so that single mothers would be making more money in government handouts than if their husband stayed with the family if he was in a low-paying job. So if you have a father in a low-paying job, the woman would make out better financially and the family would be better financially if that man would leave the house. And this created the conditions that we see today. It has become so ingrained in the culture now that people don't even bring it up. It's not a topic that anybody even wants to go near. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it almost seems hopeless. Look, there was a woman who's gained a lot of notoriety out of these Baltimore riots. So she was out there smacking her son up and pulling them out of there, pulling them out of the demonstrators and protesters or rioters, if you want to call them that. And she receives a great deal of acclaim. But I don't think there's enough attention paid to the fact that this woman is the single mother of six kids.
Sean, you're stealing my thunder, and I hate to interrupt, but this is exactly my point. She did a great thing. There's nothing to be denied about that. I saw it. I applauded it. But they were heralding her as some sort of a hero, and the first thing they said about her, this courageous, heroic, single mother of six, you know, that's not a good thing. What happened to the father? Maybe it was her fault. Maybe it wasn't. But the fact is, you know, this isn't a moral exemplar, a standard that she should be put out. Yes, she did the right thing in the instance of disciplining her kid, but that should be something that's basic and normal, right?
Well, you know, the woman deserves credit because she's trying to do the job of two people.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if all of those six kids were fathered by the same men or if there was multiple men, but there's no discussion about where this kid's father is. And generally, when I was down in those neighborhoods, and I'd bring that up, the pat response that I would get was, well, he's not in the picture. And my question is, well, what picture is he in? Whose picture is he in? Where is this guy? What's he doing? And what kind of role is he playing in his kid's life? And why are these men given diplomatic immunity within the black community in the same way that these rioters and these thugs and these gangbangers are granted diplomatic immunity also by members of the
almost community? Almost heroic status, as if they are the freedom riders of the new generation.
Well, you know, yeah, and I think, well, you know, when you have the media down there driving the whole situation, I think a lot of people just want to be on TV. But, you know, I mean, I don't see anybody out there really presenting a viable solution to what's going on. Maybe there are no solutions. I don't know. But I know that, you know, if you keep doing the same things that you've been doing and you keep getting the same results, I mean, that's just about as crazy a situation.
Well,
as you get.
I tell you what you haven't seen is any serious repercussions for anyone who participated in these riots, and you even heard it on the media. What I watched is that they're saying, well, we can't really identify these people, so they're just going to get away unless somebody comes up says, I know this guy, here's where he lives, and he absolutely participated in it, and here's the evidence. You know, the cops aren't going to go after any of these people, not as if they could, even if they wanted to. But I have three questions for you, Sean, and I want to circle back to New York very quickly. And we're running short on time this hour, but first of all, how badly did Mayor Stephanie Rawlins Blake, with a hyphen, of course, mess it up in Baltimore, her handling of this situation?
If there's one thing that the NYPD does better than any other police department in the world, it is crowd control. And when you have these situations, historically, under real mayors, mayors like Rudy Giuliani, when he was mayor, he had a policy that the first person who throws a stone, throws a rock, throws a bottle, is arrested. You cannot allow utter lawlessness to ensue in your city and expect that people aren't going to take the bait. Because these kids are out there throwing, pelting cops with rocks and bottles, and it was very clear that they had received orders from on high to stand down. When these kids see that there's no retaliation, there's no consequences for their actions, they're going to continue to act up and act out. And if I were the lawyers over at CBS, I'd be looking very seriously at filing a lawsuit against the city of Baltimore for loss and loss of business and all those other people who lost homes and had their property damaged. That was the fault of the mayor. She's inexperienced, doesn't know what she's doing, and, you know, she is out there catering. Instead of trying to serve the people of Baltimore, she's catering to that constituency that got her elected in the same way that de Blasio in New York did that. He went out and backed the protesters. He was only elected with 17% of the vote here in New York because it was such a low turnout. But he thinks all he has to do is play to those constituents. And the same with this mayor and this prosecutor. Pay very close attention to where this goes.
Well, I mean,
charges, because she is easily as politicized as Eric Holder. I mean, she can have no problem in going out with, in voicing just how political they are.
And you know, when you hear an American mayor say, the mayor of a major American city say, we have to give those who wish to destroy the room to do that. Now, she backtracked from that, pretended she didn't say it. But that was actually a moment of candor. I mean, what can you make of that? It's just madness.
Well, you know, now she's going to be left with a situation where she has a police department who, you know, could sit on their hands all summer long. I don't see them out there arresting anybody. Certainly, you can kiss proactive policing goodbye. These guys are going to be on the defensive in their squad cars, waiting for 911 calls, and that's about it. And the people,
well, and I can't blame
them, are the people in those neighborhoods.
Amen. And I can't, absolutely, that's a hell of a point. And that's the thing. You know, when you make this war on cops, the people who are going to suffer the worst are those who need police protection the most. And if I was a cop there, I'd be damned if I went out and put my back side on the line. It went the extra mile. Because all you're going to do, you're going to get charged with the crime, you know, as these people shouldn't have been, based upon what we know, they shouldn't have been charged, but they had to be charged to quell the uprising. So it's a political thing. Hopefully they'll be acquitted if they were, in fact, guilt-free of wrongdoing. And if they were guilty of wrongdoing, let that come out as well. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know yet because an investigation hadn't taken place. The facts hadn't come out, but that didn't stop the rioters. That's for sure. I want to get back to the New York thing very quick. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left. Answer this just as quickly as you can, Sean, so we can circle back to New York in the last 2 minutes. In your opinion, how quickly could the Baltimore Police Department have quelled the uprising if they hadn't been handcuffed by the mayor? Would this have dragged out a week?
No, absolutely not. They have a police department of 3,000 officers. I mean, you know, they could squash an uprising like that. I mean, it started with high school kids. You know, I mean, you don't have to go in there bashing them over the head with nightsticks, but you can certainly get them off the streets or move them into an area where they can't. You don't just stand there and allow them to pelt you with rocks and bottles. You have to make arrests. You have to move in and demonstrate that there are consequences for your actions. You can't go assaulting police officers like that. And and just let things, you allow things to spin out of control. And they,
and you see this
very, very quickly, as we saw. It starts with rock throwing, and it ends with, you know, setting the only pharmacy on fire to serve your community. I mean, the elderly in that community are going to be really inconvenienced now, especially for those people who have mobility problems. Where are they going to go now to pick up life-sustaining medication?
And you're watching this police phalanx be put on the retreat because they can't take appropriate action. It's just disgusting. It makes you ashamed that you lived this long. But quickly, Sean, with only seconds remaining, and God bless you, brother, for being a truth teller and coming on tonight to make more sense of this, or what sense can be made. But do you have any updates at all? Anything at all you can tell us about the situation in New York, fresh from the last, half hour?
The latest information I have is that this young officer is in critical condition. The New York Post was quoting sources within the hospital, within the police department, saying that it didn't look good, that the man had been shot in the head. He is currently in surgery, and that's the latest we have right now, is that he's been shot in the head, he's in critical condition, and the gunman, as far as I know, and according to the reports that I've read, is still on the loose.
Well, we'll keep, this could be just a random situation unrelated to the weaponizing of malcontents, criminal malcontents against law enforcement officials that has been aided and abetted, in my opinion, by the Obama administration and the establishment news media. Or it could be directly related to that, but we will certainly keep tabs on that. With the great Sean Bergen, we can't go wrong. Sean, thank you for all you do. If ever there are a man fit for winning the lottery, it should be you, and we appreciate you being one of the good guys.
Let's hope so.
I do. Sean Bergen, everybody, thank you, sir. We'll be back with the third hour right after this.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network. We'll be right back.